You know, it can be hard to see the challenges that people we work with every day are going through. Invisible struggles like stress and burnout, caregiving for a loved one, or being misunderstood. But insight, awareness, and empathy will help us better see the issues they're dealing with. And that can make us and our companies healthier too. I'm Holly Robinson-Pete. Join us on The Visibility Gap, a new podcast presented by Cigna Healthcare. Download it wherever you get your podcasts.
The countdown has begun. From May 14th to 16th, 1,000 global leaders will gather in Doha for the Qatar Economic Forum powered by Bloomberg. Join heads of state, influential ministers, and leading CEOs to make new connections, gain unique insights, and uncover valuable opportunities in one of the world's most rapidly rising regions. Request your invite for this exclusive event at QatarEconomicForum.com.
This is Bloomberg Business Week with Carol Masser and Bloomberg Quick Takes' Tim Stenovic on Bloomberg Radio.
Well, I'm really excited about our next guest. Taraj Parang has seen a lot. He's been working in Silicon Valley since the late 1990s. He's been involved in hundreds of M&A transactions and venture capital investments. Right now, he's the COO at Serve Robotics. You might recall this spun out of Uber. It focuses on sustainable self-driving delivery. He's also got a brand new book out. It's called Exit Path, How to Win the Startup Game. Taraj joins us this afternoon from Palo Alto, California. Taraj, how are you?
Hey, Tim. Good. Good to be on the show.
Yeah, it's good to have you with us. Hey, I want to get to the book in just a second, but before we get to that, I want to just hear what the environment in Silicon Valley is like right now. As I mentioned, you have experience there through several economic cycles, including the dot-com crash of the late 1990s. What do you see when you look around the landscape right now? Give us your take.
Yes, it's like deja vu all over again, right?
Really?
So we've been through this a couple of times, as you said. Yes, late 90s. This feels a bit more like the 2008-2009 downturn, where kind of venture capital funding a bit dried up. There was no end in sight for the doom and gloom. And, you know, there were all sorts of memos issued by venture capital firms about, you know, rest in peace, good times, right? So it's very reminiscent of that. And layoffs, unfortunately, you know, companies cutting costs or being advised by their boards to cut costs so that they can extend their runway.
So bring this deja vu that you're feeling and this landscape that we're in where funding is drying up. What does that mean for startups and the business of startups? Because, I mean, even in the public equity markets, you know, companies that are well established, feels like a very rocky time.
Yeah, it is. It is uncertain times. The thing about startups is that a lot of them are in the value creation business. They kind of have a longer term horizon, especially the earlier stage startups. I feel that earlier stage investors actually continue plug away and continue investing their activities. You know, we've seen in other downturns that a lot of valuable companies were created or founded during the downturn. So there's no reason for early stage investors to kind of pull back. The problem is with a bit of later stage investors who had invested at very healthy valuations, and now they're facing down rounds or there's a reckoning that has come to them, and that's impacting, you know, the morale of the teams, of their founders, of the investors. So in the later stage game, it's a bit of a hard time.
What's interesting, though, Taraj, is what's happening right now. I mean, the NASDAQ 100 has rallied nearly 20% in just a couple of months. I'm wondering if the worst is behind us right now. And I know we're talking private versus public, but there is some connection here.
There is a connection, especially, you know, at the end of the day, you know, companies either want to go public or be acquired, right?
Yeah.
So the public market definitely has an impact on private markets as well. You know, it's hard to tell, but my hope is that the worst is behind us for sure. Mm.
Okay, well, let's get into the book a little bit and talk about Exit Path, because you have personal experience with trying to sell a startup of yours that didn't end up working out the IPO route or the sales route. Why do you argue that founders should be less focused on IPOs and more focused on being acquired?
Yes, absolutely. You know, if you look at the stats alone, most startups don't make it. You know, over 70% actually of venture-backed startups who have raised more than $1 million don't end up returning the money to their investors. So the chances of success are very slim. Now, those who do manage to make it through are either acquired or go public. For every IPO, there's 30 acquisitions. Mm. So odds are your chances of actually making it and surviving is through a strategic sale. I experienced that with my first startup because we were singularly focused on just that IPO. We ignored really any strategic conversations, building relationships with potential acquirers. And what ended up is that in 2008, 2009, during a time very similar to now, we had to sell because we couldn't raise any more money. Mm. And we didn't have those relationships to fall back on. And it was a failure because of that.
Right. And I mean, it's a really interesting point that odds are you're probably going to get acquired. You're more likely to do that than go public. But it still feels like going public, a lot of people sort of regard it as sort of the holy grail for a lot of these startups. But if the case is that, you know, your company is much more likely to go bought, I mean, should founders be sort of preparing for that possibility and trying to line up chips for that possibility?
That's what I've seen work out really well for founders. You know, in my next startup after that failure, I actually, the first thing we did, we created our exit strategy and we did an offsite. And by doing so, just that act alone set in motion a series of events that led to a very successful exit. You know, webs.com was the name of the company. We sold to Vistaprint and more than 10x multiple on revenues. It was a very good outcome. And I credit it because we did take those steps. Now, had we even gone forward, we decided not to sell and had gone, you know, with another round of financing and gone all the way to IPO. Having had acquirers would make our IPO a lot more successful because now we have actually leverage in those conversations with investment banks.
Taraj, we only have about 45 seconds left, but how do you know when to walk away from an offer when you know that you can get a better offer? Because you just don't know.
Yes. That's why, you know, there is a lot of upside to optionality. So the only way you can walk out from an offer is if you have viable strategic alternatives. And what I advocate in my book at great length is how to create those strategic optionality for yourself. So you can walk out.
All right. Taraj Parang, Chief Operating Officer at Serve Robotics, author of the brand new book, Exit Path, How to Win the Startup Endgame, joining us this afternoon on the phone from Palo Alto, California. Taraj, thank you so much for taking the time and joining us.
It can be hard to see the challenges that people we work with every day are going through. I'm Holly Robinson-Pete. Join us on The Visibility Gap, a new podcast presented by Cigna Healthcare. Download it wherever you get your podcasts.
The countdown has begun. From May 14th to 16th, 1,000 global leaders will gather in Doha for the Qatar Economic Forum powered by Bloomberg. Join heads of state, influential ministers, and leading CEOs to make new connections, gain unique insights, and uncover valuable opportunities in one of the world's most rapidly rising regions. Request your invite for this exclusive event at QatarEconomicForum.com.